You know, after we released the episode last week, I went and listened to the very first episode of the Misplay Board Game podcast, the relaunch.
Season one. Oh.
The last two episodes that we've done have had a tone and quality to them that I think we should aspire to going forward on the show. They are very honest in the telling of the story of what's happening with the game, with the show, and where we're at in terms of work. But I don't think they fall prey to some of our early season one episodes where things weren't going as we had hoped. And we kind of fell into just like beating ourselves up about them. But I think there's a line, there's a way to tell the story that has that sense of honesty and meets the challenges of a show or of the game design without being overly like self-deprecating, but also not pretending that, oh, the playtest, we had a playtest, it wasn't very good, but we're still great. So I think the these last two shows that we've done are what I would like to see the tone of the show continue with as we go forward.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we don't play enough games. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason.
Elephant in the room?
I think it's always been.
Is that the game?
Elephant in the room?
Yeah.
That has to exist as a game. Like, just that name. That game has to exist.
We should probably Google it.
That's part of...
Before we start designing it?
Yeah, we should have done that with Animal Kingdom.
Go on.
I'd rather not right now. We'll get there. But our Misplay, people listening to the episode, they see that it's called Design Block. And it's probably a contributing factor to our design block. We can say it. We've said it before. We have to play more games. And it's not the reason we're like stuck. But I think if we played more games, we would have a better sense of where we want to go, what we want to do.
I think that's accurate. And that was part of our learning about games, part of our Venn diagram as we embarked on this journey. And we have done very little of it.
But we do keep saying it. And I'm going to compare it to a study around exercise. There's this study that you shouldn't say, you shouldn't tell somebody, I'm going to go for a run later. Because what happens in your brain apparently is like the dopamine effect of going on a run releases a little bit when you say, I'm going to go run later. You're already giving yourself credit for doing that. And people who say that are less likely then to go run. And you should just go out and run and not tell people, I'm going to go running later. I'm going to play more games. We should just play more games.
Did the dopamine hit for you, Jason?
Yeah, a little bit. I have games in there we haven't opened.
When's our game night?
That would help.
I'm on team. I haven't read the study that you're referencing, but I'm on team. If you want to increase the opportunity or the likelihood of something happening, you have to make some changes in our environment in order to make those things happen. Having a scheduled game night would be the change in the environment that I recommend.
You're on it. You got to pick the night.
Wednesday.
Could be good. Could be good.
Okay. Presuming we start Wednesday night game night, what do you hope to glean from playing a wider variety of games? How is it going to help where we are now?
I think where we would start is games that are similar to what we're doing in some way. Since we've started our project with Animal Kingdom, we've had a number of people forward us games that are like, have you played this? Have you seen this? And so there's a bunch of games that are similar to what we're trying to do. So I would start there. I would play some of those games to make sure that we're not, that we're moving away from those, that we're offering something different.
I think that makes sense. Also, playing more games in the genres or in the theme that we're looking at would serve to widen the palette of what we have access to in terms of how we design the game also.
The goal today is more than just telling the audience what we're doing. The goal today is to actually see if you and I can have a little bit of a breakthrough to kind of break through this design block that we're in. And we'll tell you the things that are causing us to feel stuck. But before we do that, this week's episode is sponsored by Koenig Creations. Koenig Creations is a print and play design studio that seeks to make accessible, fun games that are easy to print. Their games include Vault, a solitaire dice game, and Flip Freighters, a competitive flip and fill game. Both games have been adapted by Board Game Arena and are available to play for free. Their newest game, Elevator Operator, has players channeling their inner AI as they seek to get customers up and down to their preferred hotel floor. If you would like to know more about Koenig Creations, visit their website at koenigcreations.com, KoenigCreations.com. Easy to print, easy to play.
The slogan still slaps.
Yes. So does their blog. I've been reading Wayne's articles on the blog, and similar to what we're doing, we're trying to give people a window into the design process. He's doing the same thing on his website. Okay, Mark, before we talk about our design block, I wanted to have a little bit of fun. And I'm going to throw us back for anybody who listened to our old show. This new segment is not a new segment. This is an old segment. This is Mark Can't Possibly Disagree. In Mark Can't Possibly Disagree, I make a statement that I believe is absolutely true. And Mark always finds a way to disagree, even though he can't, he shouldn't. And I'm confident I'm actually going to turn you on this one. Mark can't possibly disagree. Monopoly is a great game.
Mike, I don't believe that's true. I messed up here.
I forgot that you had that line next. It's been so long.
It hurts.
The signature line.
I don't believe that's true.
Go on.
Onus is on the prosecution.
I think in this case, I would like to hear why you don't think Monopoly is a great game.
Monopoly is a pro-capitalist dice rolling game where you roll dice and extract money from people for property that wasn't originally yours. You go around the board and arbitrarily land on spaces of arbitrary value in a very sequential order. You are in a race to see who can develop the most extractive place possible first. And then if you do that and you get lucky and your opponent lands on that, you get paid off until they don't have any money. Much wow. Very unfun.
You could not have described the game better. I agree. That's exactly what the game is. It is luck-based. It is capitalistic. And those are the reasons you don't like it.
Yes.
Do you know who created Monopoly?
No.
Ah.
Hasbro.
I think it's Parker Brothers.
Oh.
Who actually signed it.
Parker Brothers.
They did not create the game.
Go on.
But the person who created Monopoly, I had to do some research. Lizzie Maggi created originally a game called The Landlord's Game. And that was her whole point. You're actually going to really like this. Her whole point was to show that the system was broken, that the game is rigged in the favor of landlords and people are just eventually are going to lose all their money. That was the whole point. That's what she was trying to show. And then somebody else came along and kind of took the base of her game, changed it a little bit. Parker Brothers said, yeah, that's the game we want. They added like the whole Atlantic City thing and that theme to it. And then Parker Brothers said, yeah, let's make that. That's Monopoly. Later on, they found out that it came from somebody else and they did give it like a little bit of money. But the whole idea was to show exactly all, I knew all the things you didn't like about it, but that was the point of the game. That's why they designed it. It was anti-capitalistic when it was created.
That can all be true and I can respect the story. That doesn't change that the game still blows.
This guy. You're saying the current state of Monopoly, if you went to the store right now and bought Monopoly, sat down and played it, that gameplay experience isn't fun.
Correct.
I can give you that, but I think you have to acknowledge that that wasn't really the game. That wasn't the intent. And
go on.
Go on. That's my line. You can't say go on. I tricked you a little bit because I'm talking about the original idea for the game. If I had said the original idea for Monopoly is a great game.
The original idea for Monopoly is a great illustration of a very real social problem. Your thing says, I'm gonna lawyer on you now. Your thing says great game. One, your metrics are incredibly vague. So I guess if great is illustrative of a soul-crushing social problem, nailed it. If you're looking for a fun play experience that I'd like to sit down with some of my friends and have a nice, enjoyable board game night together, Monopoly is not the game I'm bringing to the table. Even with the context of the lovely story about how an anti-capitalist was demonstrating how terrible landlording is.
But do you then only believe great games are games that you enjoy playing? A game cannot be great if you don't like it.
No, Settlers of Catan, great game, not for me.
How is Monopoly different?
I suppose it's not.
I did it.
Sure. Only because we have to finish recording. Where are we?
It was Mark who said it, other Mark.
I can't tell you how like strange it was seeing like Mark, other Mark with a C.
Yeah.
In the show doc when I first glanced at it. It took me a minute to catch up.
Colacoma, who has said a couple of times now in our meetings on Wednesdays that we have moved so far away from the original concept of the game that we're just doing something entirely different that isn't necessarily what people thought we were going to be creating. So I think that is a good starting point for talking about why we're stuck and what we're stuck on. We talked a little bit before the show. We wrote down some things. We kind of have a list of five things that we've said, this is why we're stuck. We should give context though first. Where are we at? Like, what's going on? What was our last playtest like?
I think where I would describe us, and maybe you'll have a different perspective, but where I would describe is, I think we're in a spot where we have hyper-fixated on an important but a small aspect of the wider game we're trying to build. And in hyper-fixating on this kind of small aspect, it has narrowed our field of vision to, well, we have to get this map piece right, and we have to get this movement thing right, and we have to get how players being in the same location is right. We have to get the influence progression to be right. And it's this microcosm, because when I look back, right, if I look at how I think about where we want to go with the game, we're trying to develop this creation of this sense of you're a political candidate campaigning for votes on issues for voters to come and vote for you. And we're so focused on kind of this like map abstraction piece that it's hard to be serving the wider vision for the game. And it's hard to see more progression of the game because we haven't given the attention to other aspects of the games. I think we've dabbled on different things, right? We've dabbled with hippos, we've dabbled with events, we've dabbled with a timeline, we've dabbled with election day, we've dabbled with debates and rallies and campaigns and what does that mean? But it's all been in relation under this hyperfixation on the map and movement and that single piece. Whereas in our collective mind, there are all of these other pieces and we haven't brought those other pieces into our physical build of the game or our mental construction of how they interact in the game.
Stressed me out a little bit with all of that. You are absolutely right. When I asked the question, I did mean like, just catch the audience up. Since January, we said we were going to build a game about animal voting. You went deep and you're right.
But that's where we've come from January. It is all of those pieces.
And so that brings us to our first point. The first thing we're stuck on is developing that core, whether, you know, it is about pulling people to you, whether it's about moving around this map, whether it's about having the debates and rallies. We haven't really identified what the game is. We haven't. And, you know, there were things that I said were really important to me that we've been playing without for a while, like the hippos, because we've been trying to just figure out that primary loop that players will experience. In the current version, it's, you know, move your piece to another habitat, collect something, and then possibly move an animal over to you, and then there would be a potential for a debate or a rally. And there's, like you said, there's versions where we had event cards. There were versions where we had wild cards. But again, we ask everybody on the team, what is the game? What is the core piece of the game? We've got six different answers.
I think that's very accurate. We're very bare bones. And in the last playtest, I think the guiding questions have actually been very successful in our playtest process.
The Mark Katz playtest process.
Sure, I'll pat myself on the back later. Because Peter, the most recent playtest was, well, let's see this new skeleton piece to see how this version functions. But that has meant that we've lived in a space of abandoning the majority of the other features in service of trying to find this core.
And I'm going to move that to the second thing on our stuck list, time. Because we keep making really big changes to the structure of the game. Different maps, different cards, different, completely different loops. We retain a little bit every time, but we keep moving further and further away from what the last playtest was. And people haven't felt great about any version. We have now created a situation where time is against us. We were hoping to get to Kublai Khan in May. I think that's a stretch right now. It's less than a month away. I think to sit down with a game in the proto-spiel section of Kublai Khan, it's a bit of a stretch. The other looming deadline is Future Playtest Hall at Gen Con. That's been the big one. That was the thing that we've been trying to shoot for 9 months. And that has put a lot of pressure. I don't know if other people feel it, but I feel it. It's something I feel immensely. I'm a little bit stressed that we're not going to have a product that we can take to the first exposure playtest hall and feel good about. I know we could take almost anything that we're doing and go into that space and say, hey, try our game. I don't think that's going to go well. There's lots of things to learn from that, but we want to be in a better spot. And the clock is ticking.
We haven't talked about that elephant in the room yet. Maybe the time is more of the elephant for you, but Mike C. helped us with a little market research.
This is number 3 on our stuck list.
Have you heard of...
He's looking around the room.
Animal kingdoms.
Oh, the plural.
Yes.
No, I haven't. Tell me more.
It's a game that exists.
Well, the first thing we should say is we have known that this game would never be called Animal Kingdom. From the moment we said it, I don't know who said it, probably me. We have always known that that is not the name of the game. It's a placeholder. It's been a placeholder the entire time. That does not change the irony of only finding out recently that there is another game called Animal Kingdoms, and it's about kind of moving around different habitats and gaining, you know, influence and getting people on your side.
I think if you put it that way, it's very easy to say, oh, we're making the same thing. Peter has watched some of the like actual gameplay of it in his assessment of watching the playthrough, which is more than you or I have done, and what our version of Animal Kingdom is. They're different enough that we're going to rebrand and reskin our game anyway, but they're not so close. They're features that are similar. It should be on the list of games that we should play.
Yes, along with Zoovadis, Zoocracy.
Zootopia?
That's a movie.
Dang it.
Political Animals?
It's my least favorite sounding one.
Political Animals from Breaking Games is the non-confrontational strategy game for 2 to 5 players. Players of Political Animals compete to pass policies in order to advance their political agendas. Not the same, but there's a number of games that are in this theme. I think it's put the team in a position where they're like, are we just remaking something that's already out there? I think it's just lower the excitement level a little bit.
And very explicitly counter to what I'm so bad has stated he wants to do. Like, why invent a game that already exists? Yes, our game is different, but there are these beautiful applications in a similar theme. If this were the game, we would need it to have more passion behind it and a little more je ne sais quoi.
Oh, French, yeah.
I really don't speak any French.
It's great.
I'm helping. But so contributing to a little bit of lower engagement is there is this sphere of games that are these probably very deft and skilled applications of games that are in the same theme land as we are.
Number four is getting stuck, little picture versus big picture.
Yeah, so I think this is a little bit where we have really tried to invest in learning what are the core gameplay functionalities that players will interact with. And we've been so hyper aware and hyper fixated on developing the map, the movement, and this small microcosm of mechanics in the game that hasn't allowed us to explore other things. And so we're looking and responding to a very narrow, small piece. And I think we've lost a wider vision for the other things that need to be in the game, that we want to be in the game, that ultimately will be the things that make the game more compelling.
And the fifth thing on our list is the varying capacities among the team members and the challenges of working in a large team to develop a game.
He's back to Tuckman.
Every episode.
I feel conflicted about attributing the team collaborative dynamic to a reason why we're stuck. I do think there are real capacity limitations in working remote in the different capacities of the different people among us on the team. But for me, like, the collaborative piece is the fun part. You remember we had the meeting where we all sat down and like you had us do breakout rooms. By far, my favorite Wednesday meeting, not close. I really enjoy that collaborative piece. I've said it multiple times that I am not the monolithic game designer who's going to sit in my room and spend 16 hours, 32 hours on my weekend building a board game.
Yes, you've said that before. I've heard you say that many times. I know that. The thing is, while breakout room meeting was really great, I'm not sure how much of that we've actually taken and applied to the versions of the games that we're playing. We keep moving different directions. And that, I think I said in the last meeting, I take a lot of blame for that as the project manager. But there is something about having a clear vision on the design, and we don't have it. But I feel like if I was more skilled in leading a team and not 22 7-year-olds, we could have identified the problems that we're experiencing and found a way to kind of get past them sooner. Because I'm hoping today, Mark, we can get unstuck. That's kind of the point of you and I haven't had this conversation before. So I said in the beginning that this was, you know, a peek into the process, but this is also us working right now. How do we get unstuck? I'm asking for a friend.
The first thing that jumped to my mind when we hit the sticking point and we started to get that sense of being stuck on the team and feel that little bit of dip in enthusiasm about this version of Animal Kingdom, my first instinct was like, all right, cut and run. Let's do something different.
Yeah, we had that meeting.
But after Peter explained his perspective on why we should continue with Animal Kingdom, which I think is a very compelling argument and easily one that I'll throw myself behind, partially because I think it's a wonderful compromise and partially because I think there's a lot of merit to finishing Animal Kingdom because it would be one, a little bit disappointing to have done all of this work and not finish the game, but also to not give up because, oh, we hit some, we're a little bit stuck right now. What are we going to do with it? Ho hum, move on to something else. What happens next time we get stuck? Getting stuck is not unique to Animal Kingdom. Getting stuck is going to be something that comes up as we try to do this collaboratively with other people. And so I think there's a lot of merit and really good reason to unstuck ourselves, as you so eloquently put it, and bring Animal Kingdom to completion to some criteria. I think part of the follow-up of what Peter shared was he doesn't see Animal Kingdom as the game we should crowdfund, but we should still finish it and have a version that we could publish to our listeners, let people play, share the playing cards file, have something to show, a result, a product, a culmination of the work that we've done as we've learned how to kind of do this process as a team.
And I don't think Peter's wrong. I'm still having a very hard time processing that, given the narrative that we've been selling since, you know, December, January, that the idea was we were going to build this game and take it to crowdfunding. I will also say I was probably the first one who was also like, cut and run, cut and run. I have this great idea for MMA Gauntlet, but it's just dance fighting. I told you about it.
Yeah.
I was ready to pivot. I was ready to say, we're not going to finish Animal Kingdom in time for August. So we could do this though. So I was the first one trying to cut and run. I too listened to Peter's direction, guidance, and it made a lot of sense. And I was like, you should be in charge. So I do think we are going to finish Animal Kingdom. There is some question about, is it the game that we want to put on crowdfunding? I'm going to save that. I'm just going to push that question far out, because the first thing I want to do is get unstuck.
Which leads me to first option for how to get unstuck. I think in your problem-solving model, we've identified some reasons and some problems for possibly why we're stuck. I want to zoom out. I think for me, the way to unstuck Animal Kingdom is to drive it to completion by not worrying about a perfect gameplay loop in the core. Have you heard the quote about art and consistency?
No. I shook my head, then I remembered I was on a podcast.
I follow a lot of artists and creators on social media. There's been a prevailing message that I've been seeing in my feed recently that is essentially, don't worry about perfection, make something, but make something every day. And so for Animal Kingdom, how I would interpret that for us is, let's take what we have, even if it's not the gameplay loop that we want, but let's take that and let's put in your hippos. Let's put in the debates the way that we think is going to work best. Let's bring the elements that we want. Let's design those elements and let's stitch them together in some way and see how the machine moves and have a bigger picture. Like, write the end game. I've been really into the calendar. I was a big proponent of the calendar and we haven't done a really strong application of that. I'd love to see, okay, we've talked about our tent posts of declare your candidacy, midterm elections, something else, an election day. Like, let's build those. Let's build the calendar. Let's choose how many rounds it is between each event. And let's use that. Let's put that in place. Then keep your thing about debates, even if it's just keeping on playing with the numbers 1 through 5, the way that you had them. The team really liked that way of doing debates. There'd be room to make, you could even bring hippos into your playing cards. You could have like arguments, hippos, and some other card that could construct your hand. And you could put them in that way. And now you centralize things on debates again. But the whole point being, zoom back out, put the things that we want on the canvas. And then we can go back and we can rearrange pieces and move things around as we need to, but build the whole system, not just the engine, would be, I think, one way of going about unstucking ourselves.
I couldn't help, as I was listening to you, say, oh yeah, we didn't even talk about the seasonal or the calendar version then. And that's like another element that we've been trying to add in and throw in. And I hear that and I go, oh, it's going to be more complicated. And I'm thinking a lot about how difficult it's going to be for us when we get to manufacturing and putting components together and then sticking them in a box and worrying about weight. And I feel like we have bitten off more than we can chew. That for a first game as the Misplay, we probably should have been making a card game. Mark said that like episode 2.
Go on.
And now obviously, you know, with the tariffs that have hit the industry, and we're kind of lucky we're in a position right now where we almost don't have to worry about that yet. But it's probably wrong not to worry about it. It's probably wrong to not have a voice around it. But I get increasingly worried that there's going to be too much going on for us to be able to figure all that out. even if we do have this game.
This is the part where you offer a solution. I think you've teed up a nice one for us. I'm waiting for you to knock it out of the park. Did I speak baseball well enough for you?
That was really good, yeah. If I was in charge, I'm not sure I am, I would be trying to simplify, cut out things. And I know to some degree that's what we were trying to do with the core loop, right? We were trying to ignore all of those things. But I actually mean not have them in the game, to totally scale back. You know, it was other Mark who had said, we've moved so far away from the original game. Can we get back to where we were originally and just have less things going on?
Option two, reduce and simplify Animal Kingdom.
Yes. Design a simpler version of Animal Kingdom.
Or option three, abandon ship, make a simpler game, period, by itself, independent of Animal Kingdom.
I can't even with you.
Well, I don't understand.
For the audience there, I probably cut out about 4 minutes of just silence and glares at Mark, because I thought that I'll give you that unstucks us, unsticks us, unstickies us.
It's good.
It gets us out of the sticky stuff. But does it? But is, you had said 10 minutes ago that we should drive something to completion.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If we were going to explore like the wide range of how we could unstuck ourselves, I do think it is fair to consider like the full abandon ship, cut, run, do something else. I don't think that's the best option in this case.
Oh, okay. Jeez.
But I think you have to think about it.
Okay.
I think Peter made a very compelling argument for why we should drive Animal Kingdom to completion. That being said, no one has really gone to make the argument for why you should abandon. And I'm not going to, because I don't think it's not what I believe we should do, but it would be an option.
Okay. I see what you've done there.
I think that, barring option three, I think that sets our agenda for what we want to be working on with the team this week.
I want to be unstuck right now.
Well, then you, project manager, have to make a decision. Are we going to unstuck ourselves by driving the more complex, more bells and whistles version of Animal Kingdom to completion? Or are we going to strip down and complete a simpler version of Animal Kingdom? I think that's what you would have to go into Wednesday knowing if we're going to unstick ourselves now.
The Misplay podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, J.P. Savard.
It's pretty good. It's a little gimmicky, but it's pretty good.
You can't just immediately unstuck.
That's not how creative anything works.
Yeah. We're thinking about what we have to do.
Don't tell your dopamine receptors. Like I said, I think it informs what we should be working on with the team and what the agenda is. Simplify. Go big picture. Go back and think of Leone's story about designing Biome. Go back and think about the way that Mike C. told you about developing his game. Randy told us about Golf Game, how he was really hyper-fixated on trying to get the idea of choosing your club, and then everything spiraled from there. All of those examples are kind of a lock yourself in the room kind of style. Build something, and then spend the rest of your time revising. I think we have landed in, we've gone into revising, but we're only revising the one piece. And if we want it to just be that one piece, I think that's okay, because I think that changes the way that we design. I think it changes the way that we iterate. I think it changes the way that we playtest the bare bones map version that we have. But if we're going to entertain the idea of the wider, more complex version, we should design the more complex version before we go and start refining small pieces of it.
Or scale back.
Yes, I think those are the options. You know, when we pushed the April newsletter, I was very touched by the reassuring little letter that you wrote as your segment for the newsletter part in this month's newsletter. Because being stuck is not a pleasant experience, right? And it's frustrating. And I know you've been frustrated and annoyed with me about schedules or the way that I talk about a game or something. Like, there has been tension around being stuck.
Yeah, I got a list.
And that's fine. But I think the core that I took away from your little reassuring message that I didn't get to see until it was published in the newsletter and I had to dig it out of my spam.
I'm just glad you can see it now.
Was that feelings, I think for me, it's analogous. Feeling stuck is uncomfortable and it's challenging, but there is a path forward where you get unstuck and we move forward in terms of what we're trying to accomplish. And so I would like to share that same kind of encouragement with you. We're stuck right now. We don't have to abandon ship. And we do have a really great team of talented, intelligent people. And this is part of it. And your concerns about kind of the narrative of Animal Kingdom that we've been pushing. I forgot who it was that said it, but like probably Peter, because Peter's good with the words. But like that this is a messy process.
Yeah.
And we set out, like you said, we set out possibly having bitten off more than we can chew in this game. And so I trust that the show, the narrative, our audience can be flexible in following along, that Animal Kingdom may not be the game. It may be where we might not make it to Kublai Khan. It might not be the game we bring to Gen Con. We're going to bring something, but Animal Kingdom might not be able to sustain and achieve the aspiration that we have in terms of what we want for the project. And if that's true, that's just another part of the process. It's another part of the story. Season 2 is about building a game and trying to aim at being able to launch a crowdfunding campaign. If the game we're working on right now isn't going to accomplish that for us, then it's our obligation to change so that the story can continue.
Tearing up a little bit. If I lifted you up with my newsletter article, great. You're lifting me up right now. Everything you said there is so perfect that I don't want to ruin it with another word.
The Misplay Podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Ajos, Brian, Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our FAQ in Discord.
We keep moving different directions.
This is what I thought the whole episode was going to be about.
I kind of want to leave that.